So I've been reading, learning from Rabbi Rosner's Sefer on Bereishis, and I just opened the front flap, and he's got a very interesting comment. And he says, what are we learning from Bereishis in general? And he says, notwithstanding that the 6 days of creation were called Tov Ma'od, very good, he says, we can sit back and say, hey, weren't there really problems that occurred? Adam and Chava failed the first mitzvah they were given. Cain killed Hevel. God asked the trees that their bark taste like the fruit, and they refused, whatever that means, and they didn't do it. And he says, so what's this very good comment? And he says, we all have expectations, he says, of ourselves, our spouse, our children, our wider family, and others. And more often than not, what we planned does not materialize. That the Rabbi Shalom wanted to teach the world and Klal Yisroel that don't agonize over what you wanted and what could have been. No. What the task of human beings is to quickly adapt and move to plan B. He said, what Bereishis teaches us is that we need to be agile and flexible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create life as a smooth ride. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm giving you the ability to make the best of the reality that transpires. Rather than spending our time saying, oh my gosh, I wish it would have happened. Oh, what could have been, right? We're required to act with our best efforts on what is. Interesting way to open a safety. The Akedah, as we know, is one of the most important events that occurred in all of Jewish history. It was a defining moment, and we daven about it on Rosh Hashanah, and it had eternal effects. And Rabbi Rosner asks, and he says, others have asked as well, Kedas Yitzchak is referred to as one of Avram's Nisyonot, one of his 10 trials. Pirkei Avos says, there were 10 tests which Avram Avinu was tested. He passed all of them. And that demonstrates and teaches us how much he loved the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam loved him. And he says, many have commented that this is considered Avram Avinu's test, but it was Yitzchak who was going to give up his very being. He was the intended korban. He willingly let himself be ready for sacrifice. Why didn't he run away? So, why, he says, isn't it a greater test of Yitzchak? And he says, let's make it even more of a question, because the Torah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested Avram. He says, there are different opinions amongst the Rishonim of what exactly the 10 tests Pirkei Avos mentioned were. But everyone agrees that the Akedah was number 10, the pinnacle, the highest point in Avodas Hashem. And so, what, in fact, does this symbolize? And why did Avram have to go through it? Hadn't he proven himself in the Kivshan HaEsh when Nimrod threw him into the fire? He risked his life again to save Lot. Hadn't he already established himself as a complete servant of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? Like, what pray tell did this Akedah come to prove? And he says, in perspective, let's talk again. We mention it in davening. Some people say the Akedah every day. It's in in the Shacharis before Slichot, before Karbanot. We mention it on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. And this chus has lasted from the day it happened through thousands of years. And we talk about it, I guess you would say, scratch our heads over thinking about it in every generation, right? And he said, let's try to understand the notion of this, quote, test and the successful completion thereof. He quotes a Maharit, who he says was an early Achron, who lived in the 1500s, and he said he was the son of the Mabit. And he says Yitzchak was not aware of what was happening. He really wasn't cognizant that he was going to be a korban as he climbed High Moria. And if that was the case, it couldn't be considered his test of faith all along. Avram Avinu accepted HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commandment. He had 3 days to journey and to think about it and to come up with every single excuse why this was something that he could not do. And the human mind is designed that as we have more time to think about things, we're creative enough to come up with hundreds of justifications as to why the planned course of action is totally illogical and stop. And when we're reaching a potential action that seems perilous, our natural reaction be to recoil and stop and desist. Yet Avram Avinu didn't change his mind. He kept moving. And we're told how the Satan threw water in his way and tried to deter him in every way and said to him, "You crazy man. How are you going to have descendants once you shecht Yitzchak?" So the Maharit seems to be saying Avram had the difficult task, the difficult, creating a mindset to keep going. Yitzchak, at the last minute, according to this pshat, understood. He says the machzir's a shekel, which he says is a pshat on the Magen Avraham in Shulchan Aruch, says something else. He says, giving one's life for a Kadosh Baruch Hu is difficult, but it's time. It's finite. You're gone. A parent who has to slaughter a child has got to live with this notion, this reality, right, forever. And if you're Avram, maybe you have 100 years to think about it and possibly regret.
No.
You could end up with a lifetime of pain. That is a much greater burden to bear and to contemplate there in doing the act. Avraham was now going to sacrifice his very mission. He was now going to be a traitor to everything he ever taught. God does not want human sacrifice. Avram would be required to live with the actuality of having gone through the Akedah every single day. He would wake up every morning thinking, I killed my son. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say, you're going to have a replacement son. He says, Rav Bernard Weinberger, in his Sefer Shemen HaTov, says, Avram returned to his youth and questions what happened after the Akedah. He says in the Torah that Avram went back to Yishmael and Eliezer, and he casually returned to life. We know he then encounters the death of Sarah, who we say the Satan showed a picture of the Akedah and took her neshama, the Malach HaMavet. And he then has to go through the efforts to find a wife for Yitzchak. But he says, with regards to Yitzchak...
What happened to Yitzchak?
That's what the question is. Thank you. Where did he go? That's what he asks. All of a sudden, he disappears. We don't hear about him until the end of Chayei Sarah, when Rivka meets her husband. Where did he go? Chazal says, right, that after the Akedah, Yitzchak went to learn in the yeshiva of Shem and Aver. So the question obviously becomes, hold on. First of all, he had Avram Avinu as a father. Who could teach him more than Avram Avinu? Secondly, he had just acquired the status of being a korban for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had basically been willing to give his very existence to Hashem. What, pray tell, did he think he was going to learn from Shem and Aver? And it says, it's very difficult to be Meiser Nefesh, to give one's life for Hashem. But there's an even more difficult task, and please don't ask me to weigh this. It says, it's much more difficult to live at that level of Kedusha post the sacrifice afterwards, to stay on that same level that you're at and not fall, that's even more difficult than the one-time effort. How does one ensure that every single action from that point on is proper and is in accordance with the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rabbi Rosner says, every person will face nisyonos, tests, almost every day. Right? And some of them are going to be even more difficult than getting up and psyching ourselves out to be Moser Nefesh. He says, Yitzhak had the awareness after the Akedah that he now knew how to be Moser Nefesh. He knew how to give his life for Hashem. But he said, how do I live on that Madrega? Now we can posit why Shem v'Aver. Why would they be the ones to be able to teach this better than Avram Avinu? Did they live in a worse generation because they survived the flood? I don't know. Right? The Chassam Sofer takes another approach. And he says, if a Kaddish Baruch Hu tells someone to do something, and you know it's the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, he says, we're all going to do it. He says, we can't imagine what it means to be spoken to by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. If we're certain that it's a bus call from Shemayim telling us to do something, he says, we don't really have the ability not to do it. I guess he's saying that that's the Yiddish in the Shema. Yitzchak had no communication. Yitzchak was told secondhand by his father Avraham what had to happen. Yitzchak's test was to have trust in his father. He was the first human being to show true what he calls emunas hachachamim. He was the first person in history to basically give his life over based on what he was told by Das Torah, by the Torah scholar of his day. The Chassam Sofer compares Avram and Yitzchak to the written Torah and the oral Torah. Avram Avinu was the written Torah. The Kaddish Baruch Hu spoke to him, and as he just said, once Hashem speaks to you, you basically can't do anything other than a Kaddish Baruch Hu's word. Yitzchak Avinu had to believe that the Gadol Hador, his father, knew what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Unless he believed that his father was correct and knew what he was doing, he couldn't go ahead. He didn't have communication from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. He was told by Avram Avinu what Hashem wanted secondhand. And the Chassam Sofer says that the Akedah may have been even a greater test for Yitzchak. And so he says that's the approach to whose test it was. Like everything else, it's a matter of different opinions. And then he says, hold on. I didn't answer the second question I posed. Why? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want the Akedah for? What was this need to test Avram again? The Rashbam says, after these things, and he says, whenever the Torah says after these things, it says, the next subject at hand that's coming right after is directly connected to the previous statement. He says, what preceded the Akedah? He says, before the Akedah, Avram entered into a peace treaty with Avinoach.
Right.
The Rashbam's radical view was that this was wrong, and Avram Avinu was being punished for making a treaty with a non-Jewish king over Eretz Yisroel. Kadosh Baruch Hu seemed to be saying, Avram Avinu, you made this treaty because you were worried about your child's future, about your potential descendant's future. Let's see, are you going to have a child? Is he going to survive? And he says it's a very radical comment. The Ramban says the purpose was for the one being tested, not the tester. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't need to know whether Avram could survive this or not. Hashem knew. He knew that Avram Avinu would do exactly what Hashem would say. Hashem gave Avram this Nisayon test because he wanted Avram to realize the level of his own greatness, of where his potential lay, right, and what he could, how he could soar to basically be one at one with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. He says sometimes in education, teachers give miserable exams. They're just SOBs, so to speak. But he says some of them have a reason, which is not to make the kids miserable, but to show them how well they can do in difficult situations. They're not going to hold whatever they get as a measure of their grade. Rather, it's a learning test. I don't know if that's true or not. I never had such a good teacher. Rabbeinu Bachya says, this was not a situation designed to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu anything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know. And I guess we're all going to ask the question, how do we even consider something Hashem doesn't know? Let's not go there. But again, it was to show Avram how great he was, right? And how great a level a human being can reach. And then the Radak says, this was actually not even necessarily to show Avram how great he was. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to record for all of Jewish history the greatness of Avram Avinu. If this hadn't happened, where would future Jewish people know about the greatness of Avram Avinu? How he would give up every single thing, not only his own life, but his destiny, his child, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, the story the test, and the whole thing may have been written just for Klal Yisroel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew Yitzchak wasn't going to be sacrificed. That was never a possibility. On the other hand, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew the importance that once we show the greatness of Avraham Avinu, all of the Jewish people will realize how great the very first Jew was. And maybe, this is my own, maybe because of the greatness demonstrated, that's why the Akedah can be the, right, the merit for all of Avraham's children at Dies Goyel Tzedek. Okay. That's today's year. Thank you very much.